Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. Happy Hump Day. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we welcome you to the Living by Design show. Hello, Tony. How are you doing?
Hello, Kathy. How are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. Now, listeners, as usual, Tony and I would like to thank you, our listeners, for supporting us each week. We love what we do, and we really appreciate all your feedback. So the more feedback we get from you, we will continue to do better and better, and hopefully you will enjoy tonight's topic because we've got a very exciting show lineup for you. Now, Tony, as you know, we have quite a bit to cover tonight, so I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in here. Our featured show topic is how to heal from feelings of loneliness and rejection. And I'm pretty excited about that show topic. We have a very special guest coming up a little bit later in the show, Dr. Margaret Paul, and she's going to be talking to us about that topic. But before we, and I've also posted the dial-in number for today's show, which is 646-478-3060. So if you'd like to dial in and make a comment or ask a question of our guest, please feel free to do that once we get into our topic. Now, Tony, last week, before we dive into that, I want to talk to my listeners for just a second here and make a correction to some information that I gave out on my show last week. As you know, I recently partnered with the young lady that hosts the show Peas in Their Pods here on Blog Talk Radio. And Peas in Their Pods was created specifically for the purpose of bringing awareness to the fact that there are an astronomical number of missing children in our country. And of that astronomical number, 33% of those children are African American, and oftentimes African American children come up missing, and there's actually no Amber Alert notification that goes out. And the situation with the organization that this young lady belongs to is to try to bring more media attention to this alarming epidemic. And last week on my show, I misstated the website address, and I just want to make that correction. And then also I want to play the public service announcement for our listeners once again. Now, just for your information, we ask that everyone please try to get involved as much as you possibly can. I am so sorry for my tongue-tiedness this evening. But the website is www.savingourchildren.bravehosts.com. And it doesn't matter how small of a contribution you can make, everything counts. We need as much help as we can get with this alarming epidemic. So I'm going to play this public service announcement, and you know, hopefully we can start making a difference in this terrible situation.
Our nation is in a state of emergency. Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing in the United States, and of these missing children, 33% are African American children who are being torn from their families. It is critical that the African American community in our country become more involved in the safety of these precious children. There are astronomical numbers of abused, missing, and murdered African American children that fail to get the needed exposure in the media. Hi, I'm Blue Raspberry Wen, asking you to help save our children. For more information on how to help, Go to www.savingourchildren.bravehost.com or www.myspace.com/HFMBC. It's every.
And I want to, again, urge everyone, if you have any time to spare, no matter how small, everything makes a difference. These children really, really need our help. And like I said, the African-American community needs our help more than ever right now because these are very, very difficult times for our children, and every child deserves to have us as adults try to protect them and move them out of that terrible situation. So please, please lend a hand, and please visit the website. So Tony, secondly, what I would like to talk about quickly before we get into our show topic,
yes.
I'd like to congratulate Mr. Barack Obama and his historic Democratic nomination win. That was fabulous.
Yeah, he is.
Our nation is in a state of emergency.
Stop.
Yeah,
sorry,
he's the. That's okay. He's the presumptive Democratic nominee, and of course, he's going to go against John McCain. They, of course, have to have the Democratic convention, but that's why they say presumptive, because he has the delegates that he needs, and so now he's just taking the lead and taking on John McCain. But, of course, once the convention happens, it'll be official at that point. So it's really going to be a question of who he's going to have as his running mate, but right now it's a historic time for African-Americans, but it's a historic time for the country, and
it definitely
does mean that there is a change coming, and it's not politics as usual, and it is an exciting time.
I absolutely 100% agree, and I had, as you know, I had an opportunity to sit down and, I had an opportunity actually to call in your show and talk to Michelle a few weeks ago, and I played a bit of that clip for our listeners on one of my previous shows, and she is just such a classy lady, and she talked about some of the fears that she had to overcome and how fear can hold us back, and actually that's something that we're going to get into later on in our topic. But recently you had an opportunity to sit down and talk with Barack, and I know my show focuses on the enhancement and advancement of women, and I would like to play a little clip of that for our listeners as well, because he is just such a charismatic, wonderful guy, and the comments that he made about women in general and his family, I just thought it was just absolutely superb. So I'm going to play a little clip of that for our listeners as well.
Okay.
Now, Barack, I know the women in your life. Your story has been a poignant story about being, you know, coming from a single-parent household, your mother and your grandmother raising you. How important has the women in your life, as your wife and your daughters, how important have they been to this process?
Well, you know, they're obviously, my wife and daughters are everything to me. When they travel with me, it is a great thing. It keeps me happy and energized. And every time I see those little girls, I'm reminded of why I'm doing this. You know, I want to make sure that they're living in a country that is fair and is just, where every child has a chance to prosper and you know, achieve their dreams. And right now, too many kids don't see bright possibilities ahead. They're in difficult circumstances. Their parents are in difficult circumstances, and you know, a lot of those folks are working hard, but they're just not given a chance. And I want to make sure that we have a country where, you know, if you want to go to college, we're giving you a $4,000 tuition credit every student every year, so that you can afford it in exchange for some community service. If you are working hard, then you should be able to get paid a living wage. I want to give you a tax break so that you can afford rising gas prices or rising food prices. If you don't have health care, we're a wealthy enough nation that everybody should have health care. That's the kind of America I believe in and that we've got to fight for.
And the one thing I have to say about interviewing Barack Obama and having an opportunity to talk to him, he is truly a nice guy. I mean, off the interview, I had an opportunity just to, you know, talk to him just a little bit informal, and just a nice man. And
I believe that.
what we see on television and what we hear about is truly who he is. So it was an exciting time last night, and I know the nation is a different nation. The country is a different country, and it looks different now. And it's exciting because all the things that are written in the Constitution, the equal rights and all those things, now are coming to fruition. So it is an exciting time.
And we are asking everyone that's listening on our show tonight to please, please lend your support. We are at a historic moment in time, and I know Dr. Martin Luther King would be so happy and so excited right now where we are today. So when the election starts and really kicks into high gear, please, please get out and vote, everyone, so that we can really, really be part of making history. Now, Tony, moving on.
Yes.
The topic of discussion is today. The topic of discussion is healing from loneliness and rejection. And our guest is Dr. Margaret Paul. Dr. Margaret Paul is a wonderful, wonderful lady. I met her through an organization that I'm a member of, and she is just, you know, a truly wonderful person. She's doing a lot of great things, and she's an expert on marriage and relationships, and she created a process called inner bonding, and we're going to talk to her a little bit more about that. She's a best-selling author, a noted public speaker. She has a 6-step spiritual healing process that I'm sure listeners are going to really want to know more about, and she is just doing so many wonderful things. She co-authored a book, Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You? And it sold over 1 million copies, and she's just really a wonderful person. So I am going to bring her on, and Margaret, are you there? Hello, Margaret, are you there?
Hello?
Margaret, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
Okay.
We are so excited about having you on our show tonight.
Well, I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, great, great, great. And, of course, my co-host here, Tony Lamont.
Hello,
Hi,
Tony.
Margaret, how are you? Hi, how
Good.
Are you?
Good. Nice to meet you on the radio.
Exactly.
You also.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what you do, Margaret, and allow you to introduce yourself a little bit. We have some chatters in the room that probably will have some questions we'll try to get to, and we're also going to try to take some call-in questions. And again, I just want you to let our listeners know that the dial-in number is 646-478-3060. So, Margaret, tell us a little bit about what you do, and I gave you a little bit of introduction. I think you saw that, but I know there is so much more to you and so many wonderful things you're doing. So give us a little bit of background.
Well, I've been a counselor for 40 years. For the first 20 years, it was as a traditional psychotherapist, and I just was not happy with that. And I found myself praying for a process to come in that could really, truly help people heal, that they didn't have to be in therapy forever, that they could do on their own. And so inner bonding came. And inner bonding was developed by me and Dr. Erica Tropich. And we became friends. She had half the process, and I had half the process. So, of course, we had to meet and put together this incredible process.
Wow.
And so for the last 20 years of my career, I've been teaching inner bonding in workshops and intensives, 5-day intensives with 12 people, and I've been working on the phone with individuals and couples and businesses, and I have a wonderful website that teaches the process with a member site where people get all kinds of support for the process, and I've got about, I think, 8 published books at this point, many of them on the inner bonding process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a process that really, really works when people do it. It works to heal the aloneness. In fact, that's the title of one of the books, Healing Your Aloneness. It works to create a connection with your true self and with your guidance, your spiritual guidance.
Absolutely. And, Tony,
yeah.
You just jump in here anytime because I know we're going to have quite a few questions, but I'm going to just kind of jump in about the title of your book because I absolutely love that title, Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by You? And I have so many clients, friends, family, everybody that comes to me and feels like that they have to chop off a piece of themselves before they can be accepted by someone else. They want to be loved and appreciated for who they are, and there's so many people that jump into relationships just to avoid being lonely. Can you explain about why that happens so often, and you know what's the problem?
Well, what's really going on is that most people have not learned how to take loving care of themselves. So if you imagine that your feeling self inside is a child, and this child
Margaret,
needs...
Can you do me a favor? Is there any way you can turn down your volume just a tad?
Oh, sure. Okay, I can just move the thing away a little bit. Is that better? Okay. So,
yes, much better. Yes.
Yeah, so if you imagine that... that your feeling self is a child, and that this child needs love. And if you don't know how to love this child, mm-hmm. then what this child is going to do is go and seek love from somebody else. And most of us did not grow up in families where our parents role modeled personal responsibility for our for our own pain and our own joy. Mm-hmm. You know, think about your families. Did you see your parents really, really taking responsibility for their own feelings? You know, most of us saw our parents blaming each other or blaming us or blaming God or blaming, you know, somebody.
Well,
for their
in
feelings.
my particular situation, I grew up in, I mean, my household was it was very dysfunctional, and me as an individual, I have a very serious story to tell, and you know, I don't want to make this about me because I want my listeners to have an opportunity, but you know, I'll just share a little bit about my story, but I grew up in a household where I was made to feel like I was unattractive and not as good as some of my other siblings because I was the youngest of five, mm-hmm. and some of my other siblings, I guess, were more embraced, for lack of a better word, and I wasn't quite as embraced or appreciated, and I grew up thinking that I was just, you know, my self-esteem was very, very low.
Well, and I think most people in one way or another grow up that way. And so then they're seeking a relationship, and the reason they're seeking the relationship is in the hopes that this person will finally love them and
yes.
finally fill up that empty hole inside of them.
Right, and that's one reason for jumping into relationships.
Well, that's right, and that's
validation.
One reason for... And that's one reason for giving yourself up in relationships.
Yes.
Because when you grow up not feeling like you're okay,
right.
Then you believe if you're going to be yourself, the other person isn't going to love you, and you need that love so desperately because you never learned how to give it to yourself.
Right.
And so then you give up all these pieces of yourself
exactly.
in order to try and get this love until finally you feel so empty and so angry at having done it that you're going to get out of the relationship anyway.
Yes. Yep, exactly. You're so.
And so the inner bonding process is about teaching people how to truly open to their spiritual guidance, open to the beauty and the love and the wisdom and the compassion that's always here for us, and bring that into ourselves and learn
right.
how to listen to ourselves, listen to our feelings, because our feelings are also our inner guidance, and how to take loving action in our own behalf
right.
so that when we move into a relationship, instead of looking to get love, we're looking to a relationship to share our love, which is a totally different intention.
Now, Margaret, let me ask you this, because I know you're a chaplain, and being a chaplain and having that inner peace, a lot of folks say that, you know, God gives us this instinct. That is that what that inner voice is, that instinct, that,
right.
that ability to understand the message that he's sending us, and if we just open up and listen to that message, we'll be able to get it?
Yeah. See, my experience is that God speaks to us in two major and distinct ways. One is through our feelings. Our bad feelings are God's way of saying, we are off track, we're off the mark in our thinking. We're thinking and behaving in ways that are not good for us, that are not in integrity, not in our highest good. So often we think that our bad feelings are the result of what somebody else is doing or what's happening in our lives or our past, instead of our own thoughts and our own behavior.
Right.
And so when I work with people, I help them to be aware of what they're feeling and recognize that when they're feeling really great, it's because they're thinking and behaving in ways that are in their highest good, and God is letting them know that through their feelings. And then the other way God speaks is through our thoughts. Now, this can be confusing to people because thoughts come from two places. They come from the mind, which is our programmed ego, wounded mind. And those thoughts really are coming from a place of ignorance. They're just something that we learn, but they're not coming from a place of truth.
Right.
The other place that thoughts come from is through our mind rather than from our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who has been creative with music or art, they know that it comes through the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so does truth. Truth comes through the mind. And so when we learn to open, and in the inner bonding process, there's only two intentions. One is the intention to protect against pain and to, you know, with some form of controlling behavior. And the other is the intention to learn about what's loving to ourselves and others. And so when we choose the intention to learn, it opens the heart, it opens the mind, and it allows God to come in and direct us, instruct us, help us support ourselves in our highest good.
Exactly. Now, in my practice, Dr. Margaret, I always come across women that have very low self-esteem, and I've always seemed to think that women suffer with that more so than men. Do you agree with that? And if so, why?
You know, that's actually not been my experience. I think that men just show it differently.
Okay, I got
But
you.
I think both men and women have suffered a lot. I think that neither has been taught to take responsibility for themselves. They don't know how to really value themselves. Men may look like they have higher self-esteem because they may be out in the world doing more, and they may be attaching their sense of worth to their accomplishments. But you know what? Once they walk in the door and they come home, they become pretty needy.
That's true.
Just like women do.
That's true. Absolutely correct. I've experienced that. And they mask it, and it comes across in a different way than a woman's low self-esteem will come across.
Well, yeah, sometimes. It just depends
on
the
situation. They may build themselves up or boast too much or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I have found that both men and women in a relationship, they usually take one of two roles, and one is the taker role, where, you know, they're boasting and they're angry and they're controlling and they're trying to get somebody else to take care of them and do what they want and have sex with them. And the other is the caretaker role, which is giving yourself up and going along with what somebody else wants so that they'll love you. But both ends of that codependent system are coming from individuals who don't know how to fill themselves with love. They don't know how to define their own worth and take care of themselves. And so they're both coming from that low self-esteem.
Exactly. Yep.
Now, when you were talking about men, when men mask those emotions and they pretend they're not letting themselves out, how can they recognize what tools? I know you have the inner bonding process. What tools, what kind of things do they need to do for themselves? Because you're right, you're absolutely right about a lot of men. Being a man, and I was raised by a house by my mother and grew up in a house full of women. And so,
as most men do.
Right. So I'm able to see things a little differently than some of my colleagues who didn't have that same scenario. But
yeah.
I still had problems letting my emotions out, and not only that, recognizing how those emotions affected my relationships.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think men, even more than women, have been taught to stay in their head, stay in their mind, and try and achieve and think things. And they've been taught not to tune into their bodies, not to be aware of their feelings. And many women, too, have been taught that. And so one of the things that I do when I work with men is that I encourage them to start tuning inside, to start putting their focus out of their mind and into their bodies, because that's where the feelings are and that's where the information is.
Right.
And when they're in their minds, they can't really connect emotionally with somebody, and that makes them very lonely and feel very alone because, you know, it's one thing to connect intellectually. It's another thing to connect emotionally and spiritually.
That's right. How do you help a person come to that realization that that they need to do those things, or that they're doing it wrong. I mean, I hate to use the word wrong,
well,
because that's kind of not the way to approach it, by telling them they're doing it wrong.
But you see, when they come to me, they're unhappy. They already know that they're doing something that's not working well for them. It's not serving them. It's not making them happy.
Correct.
And so they already know that you know, whatever it is they learned to do isn't working well for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as I work with them, I keep saying to people throughout the sessions that I have with them, what are you feeling right now? You know, move out of your head, move into your body, breathe into your body. What's going on inside? And at first, they don't know. You know, there's like emptiness or nothingness or numbness. But after a while of starting to tune in, people start to feel, you know, they're feeling anxious or they're feeling sad or they're feeling angry. And they begin to feel that there's things going on inside that they've been avoiding, that they've been so afraid to know is there because they don't know what to do with it. Most people have no idea what to do with their feelings. So why feel them?
Mm-hmm. So true.
And so what I do is I help them, once they tune in, let's say they're feeling hurt, they're feeling sad, then what I do is I help them understand that their hurt is coming from something that they're telling themselves, some way that they're treating themselves.
Right.
It's not coming from the past. It's not coming from another person or a situation. It's really coming from themselves. And when people realize that, then they feel empowered to do something about it. And then they're more willing to feel their feelings because they realize they're not stuck with these feelings.
That's right.
They're not this deep well of feelings that's just going to go on and on forever, deep well of misery. They're actually causing it in this moment with their thoughts about themselves and how they treat themselves. And that they can learn to do something about.
And also along those lines, because you made an excellent point, once they come to that realization, what are some of the initial steps that they can take to change that toxic behavior pattern, to start loving themselves more? How can they break those patterns?
Okay, so let me...
They know it's continually bringing misery to their lives, so how can they break out of that habitual misery?
Well, so let me go through the inner bonding process, because this is what I teach, and this is how people break out.
Wonderful, great.
So the first step is the willingness to feel your feelings, to be present in your body, and of course that takes practice. And the decision, the conscious decision, that you want responsibility for your own feelings, that
mm-hmm.
you're, you know, going to move out of being a victim. And
mm-hmm.
for some people, it takes quite a while before they say, yeah, I want to know that I'm the cause of my feelings. I want responsibility for this.
Right.
Once they say that, then step two is moving into a deep intention to learn about what I'm doing that's causing my feelings. And when we move into this, I help them to connect with a source of spiritual guidance. It can be whatever that is for them, but I work very deeply with people in helping them connect to a source of guidance. It may be their own higher self or a guardian angel or their concept of God, whatever that is. But they bring in that compassion into their heart. Just like if you were with a little kid who's feeling upset and you really want to learn what's going on with that kid, you move into your heart with compassion. And then in step three, you ask that feeling part of you, what am I telling you or how am I treating you that's causing you to feel so badly? It's causing you to feel angry or hurt or guilty or ashamed or alone, you know, all of these difficult feelings.
Right.
Depressed, anxious.
Right.
What am I telling you and how am I treating you? And then I help people to go inside and allow that inner voice, that feeling voice, to come up. And the feeling voice, with some practice, will say, well, you know, you're telling me that I never do things right, or I'm not good enough, or things are my fault, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Whatever we tell ourselves that makes us feel so bad.
Now, I have a couple of questions that are coming from our chatters. Hello, chatters, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. One of our chatters is asking a very good question. She wants to know how to respond to the man once he releases his feelings. In his spouse's eyes, he probably is feeling like he has been reduced, you know, his male image has been reduced or shattered in some type of way. How do you respond to the man that once he releases his feelings and you know, then he's in that mental stuck state?
Well, I'm not sure what she means by releases his feelings, because you mean if he's angry or if he's crying, or I'm not clear on what the question is.
Well, I think
interject, I think I understand. What happens in some cases, a woman and a man in that conversation and have that dialogue, and the man will keep it in a shell, and then all of a sudden he lets it out, and he lets those emotions fly, and he shares them with his spouse or his significant other, and then his image seems somewhat changed in that person's eyes, because he's no longer this strong, this macho kind of guy. Now he's this guy who has feelings, and some women say that's what they want, but in some cases that's truly not what they want. So how should he and how should she respond?
Well, I mean, if a woman really wants to be supportive of a man in that situation, she would need to, open her heart and let herself feel empathy and compassion for him, but not take responsibility for his feelings. See, the problem that many women do is they take responsibility for the feelings. It's one thing to feel empathy and compassion for somebody, but it's another thing to take responsibility for fixing that person, which is the last thing they need. Mm-hmm. So when a man finally does open up, it would be great if his partner could be compassionate and could support him in learning how to deal with these feelings and manage these feelings and understand that there are ways he's treating himself that are causing these feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tony, do you have anything else to add that could bring more clarity to that?
Yeah, but too often when somebody lets loose of their feelings, it's not because they have an intention to learn. It's because they're dumping it on the other person.
Well, true.
And blaming the other person. And that doesn't get anywhere.
And that's a clear sign of insecurity, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't get anywhere. And
well, that comes back to the fact that you have to come to that realization that, the realization and the desire to want to change it.
Well, to want to take responsibility for your own feelings.
This is the key issue.
Correct. This is the key issue, to want to take responsibility for your own feelings.
That's correct.
When people finally do say, yes, I'm the cause of my feelings, not anybody else or anything else, that's when they make a lot of progress.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Well,
let me just finish briefly going through the inner bonding process. Once people go inside and they understand what they're doing, what they're telling themselves that's causing their pain, then we teach them how to go to their guidance once again and to find out what the truth is and what the loving action is. And this is very powerful. When people learn to open to that source and find the truth and find the loving action, then they can go to step 5, which is to take that loving action and bring in the truth. And that's what creates the healing. And then in step 6, they evaluate how they're feeling. And if they've really followed their guidance and taken loving action in their own behalf, they're going to be feeling much, much better.
And now you call this your inner bonding process, right?
Right. This is a 6-step inner bonding process. People can go to www.innerbonding.com and download a free course where they can learn the process.
Excellent, excellent. Now, if you could just state that website name just once more.
It's Inner Bonding, InnerBonding.com.
And there is a free program that you can download.
There's a free course, yes.
That's wonderful. I'm sure my listeners will love that.
There's hundreds of articles on the site. We have both a free public site with hundreds of articles, and we have a member site with over 1,000 articles and chat and forums where people help each other and questions and advice where Erica and I answer everybody's questions, and it's a very powerful support.
Now, let me ask this, Doctor, and I see one of our chatters says, what advice do you have for someone that is in denial about their problem?
Oh, right. Great point.
One of the things that we teach over and over again is for people to keep their eyes on their own plate. It's so easy to look at somebody else and say, well, that person's in denial, and I got to get them to see what they're doing. In fact, it's none of our business. And what we need to be doing is looking at ourselves and how and whether or not we're really taking responsibility for ourselves, making ourselves happy, dealing with our false belief systems, taking action in the face of somebody else's denial. But it's not our job to get somebody in denial to change. This process is truly about a very deep level of personal responsibility.
That's
of taking care of myself regardless of what somebody else is doing and not having my eyes on somebody else's plate. And in a relationship, because I work with a lot of people where one of the partners wants to do the work and the other doesn't. And the other may be in denial, well, there's nothing wrong or I'm fine or whatever. But when one of the partners is willing to do the work, the whole system changes. It has to. So instead of worrying about the other person, let's just deal with ourselves.
And oftentimes, when you focus more on what you're doing and don't put so much focus on the other person, sometimes the other person will observe you when you don't even realize they're observing you.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. And that in itself might help bring them to more of a realization of what they're doing or what they need to change or some of the things.
That's absolutely right. Let's become the role models.
Exactly. Exactly.
Instead of trying to get somebody else to change, let's us do the changing and be the role model. And very often when one person really does the changing and is devoted to that, the pressure is off the other person, and they just find themselves changing because they're no longer in resistance.
That's right. That's right.
Doctor,
now,
let me
go ahead, Tony.
Ask, I was going to say, let me ask the question, because I'm sure some of our listeners would like to know, when it comes to the inner bonding process, is that a process that is done better by yourself, maybe stepping away from an existing relationship to get yourself together and go through the process, or is it something that can be done within the relationship? Because I know some folks, when they're learning themselves and they're growing and they're going through that process, may not be able to share that emotion or be able to share the
experience.
No,
I suggest that people do not leave their relationships to do this process, because what I found is that many people on their own, they do just fine. But as soon as they get into a relationship, they tend to give themselves up, they tend to get controlling, all of their issues come up within the relationship. And so I always suggest people do not leave a relationship until they have deeply learned and understood and are practicing the inner bonding, they're making themselves happy, and then see what happens in the relationship. Because way more often than not, when one person really takes responsibility for themselves, the whole relationship changes, gets so much better.
Gotcha.
Absolutely correct. Now, I have a question. I know a lot of my clients and a lot of the people in my organization that I come across, they ask me a lot about trust. Once trust has been severed in a relationship, is this something that you talk about? Is it possible to move on or try to get it back? How do you rebuild trust?
Well, yeah, this is an interesting question, because what happens so often with people is that they put their trust in somebody else but not in themselves. And when you're not trusting yourself, when you're not listening to yourself, when you're not trusting your guidance and you're not trusting your feelings, and you put your trust in another person, very often that person is going to disappoint you and break the trust. And what I do when I work with people who have broken trust is I ask them to just, for the time being, let go of whether or not they can ever trust that other person and really work on developing trust in themselves, in their own feelings, their own instinct, their own knowing, their own spiritual guidance. Because once we really trust ourselves, we can tune into whether or not another person is being trustworthy. And it's trusting ourselves that really builds the trust between us and somebody else.
Right.
So let me get clarity on that, because I want to really make sure that I understand it and definitely the listeners understand it. So you're saying that if we look within ourselves and we trust ourselves and we understand what trust looks like to us, then it's going to be easier for us to look at trust and not worry about trusting someone else, because that trust within ourselves makes that trust very apparent.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly right. When we're trusting our own feelings, our own inner knowing, our own spiritual guidance, we can't be taken advantage of. I mean, that's the thing that people are so worried about. They're so worried about, well, this other person's going to lie to me, they're going to take advantage of me, they're going to use me, blah, blah, blah. Well, if we're really tuned into ourselves, it's not going to happen because we're going to know.
And the other thing,
what to do.
And the other thing, Dr. Margaret, I'm sorry to mean to cut you off.
That's right.
I feel that if you focus on being the best that you can be, that's going to come across to your partner, and that's going to help your partner trust you more because you're showing your partner that this relationship is the most important thing to me. I'm committed to this.
Well, that's exactly right. But
I want to
be
the best that I can be, and hopefully that should instill trust, or at least in
this. Well, yeah, and you know, one of the problems is that in many relationships, what we're trying to trust that this other person is going to love us and be loyal to us and take care of us in the way that we want. But when we become that to ourselves, when we are loving ourselves and when we are loyal to ourselves and when we are taking care of ourselves in the way that we want, we stop worrying about what the other person is doing so much.
Very good point. Very good point, because I always tell my clients, love, trust, honesty, all of those emotions come from within first. If you're not honest with yourself to know what you need to improve upon, if you're not honest with yourself to know what emotional baggage and toxic feelings you're carrying around, then you're not going to be able to resolve it.
Well, that's absolutely right. And so you know, with trust, with everything, I just encourage people to become the person that they wish the other person would be with them.
Exactly.
Become that with themselves and with the other.
Absolutely correct. Wouldn't you agree, Tony?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't force another person to be something that you want them to be. You have to allow that person the freedom to be what they want to be. Learn it, and people learn in different ways, different manners, different time frames. And you have to allow that person the freedom and the respect to give them their space to learn it in their way.
Right, and you know, each of us is on our own path, and we're going to learn in our own time. But if we're not dependent on that person for our sense of self and our sense of worth, because we're giving that to ourselves, then it's a lot easier to just allow that person to move along as they move along.
And I think that's where a lot of the problem comes in most relationships today, is because too many people look to their partner for validation. Too many
That's
people
exactly
look to their
right.
partner to make them feel worthy. I'm
That's
wonderful.
Exactly
I'm
right.
I'm beautiful because my partner says so. Well, what about what you say? What about your spiritual heavenly father? What about those positive emotions that you have within your own heart and spirit?
Well, you know what, Kathy? That's exactly what the inner bonding process is about. It's a roadmap for people to learn how to do exactly that, how to define their own worth, how to feel who they really are and their essential self, the self that God gave them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I have experienced it in so many situations with people I know, with even myself, because I have been through a lot in my life with my family upbringing and the low self-esteem that I felt growing up. And you know, I had a very toxic marriage, and it was very difficult, and, you know, low self-esteem there too. And I just came to the realization one day that, you know what, this is up to me. It's not up to somebody else to provide me my happiness. My happiness is my responsibility. This is my life.
That's exactly right. But most people, even if they know that, they don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have no idea where to begin. No
idea.
Right. And that's
what inner bonding is. It's a roadmap. It says, okay, you start here, and then you go here, and then you go here.
Right.
And if you practice this over and over again throughout a day and over, you know, a period of time, you're going to start feeling so much better.
Right.
And that was my question, Dr. Margaret, because I with any new process or any new system or any new thinking, there always seems to be a hiccup somewhere. There always seems to be. So that you kind of answered it, because isn't it just making sure that if you run into that situation that you could get right back up on the horse and just make sure that you know, do it and don't let it stop you? Because a lot of times when people run into that one problem, it sets them back and they go backwards and they never try to go forward again. So is that what they need to do if they do run into that hiccup or have a hiccup in the process, just get back?
Well, that's exactly what they need to do. You know, instead of going into their addictive behavior, their controlling behavior, their blaming, they need to go into, you know, they need to learn and practice the inner bonding process, because it will always take them through it, out the other end with the learning that they need. You know, what happens with so many people is they're moving along, they're learning, and then they have that hiccup, and they start to feel badly, and then they go to their typical addictions, which may be a process addiction, you know, it may be a substance abuse, it may be getting angry and blaming, it may be a sexual addiction, whatever it is, that they're going to their addiction, which means that they're abandoning themselves.
Absolutely.
Every addiction is a self-abandonment. And then they're hurting themselves even more with that self-abandonment.
And
so what
really
the inner bonding process is to learn not to abandon oneself. How do you love oneself instead of abandon yourself?
That's correct, because there are so many situations where clients and people that I work with, they continue to do the same habitual patterns over and over. They get into relationships because they want that validation, and they just need that love so bad. And they get into relationships knowing that it's a toxic situation. They see the red flags. They know the red flags are there, yet they ignore them because they just want love so bad.
Well,
and they need to break out of those patterns.
Well, they're abandoning themselves even in the act of moving into that relationship, because it's like taking a little child who's your child, and instead of loving that child, handing that child away to somebody else and say, here, you take care of this child, these feelings. I don't want to.
Right.
And making somebody else responsible. And that's devastating. That's a self-abandonment.
That's true. Go ahead, Don.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kathy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just, you said the child, and it just made me remember and think about that inner child that every one of us carries. And
right.
we don't protect that child. Sometimes we do abandon the child, and that child is what causes us really to understand really truly who we are. If we nurture the child and let it go through its infancy and its adolescence and its adulthood, and we allow that growth within ourselves, that inner child becomes exactly what it needs to be to us.
Well, that's right, and that's what it means, in my view, to take personal responsibility, to take responsibility for that child, which is our feeling self inside. So it means that we're taking responsibility for our feelings, rather than, you know, meeting somebody and saying, oh, that person will make me happy, or that person will fill me up, or that person will make me okay, to take that on for ourselves. See, you know, with the inner bonding process, what happens with people when they really start to take responsibility and learn to connect to the spiritual guidance is that they learn to bring love inside. They learn to fill up that emptiness, that aloneness that's inside. And the feelings of rejection go away because they're no longer rejecting themselves. And then when they come into a relationship, they're filled up with love, and that love is overflowing, and they have love to share rather than just trying to get it from somebody.
Right. And I counsel and I work with so many clients that are parents, and they tell me that they're having such a hard time dealing with their preteens and their teenagers and first one thing and then another.
Right.
And that is such an impressionable time when children are between the age of preteen 12 to 17. You have got to bond with your child in a positive way. That is when their self-worth is determined, and that's when those things are really developed. And if they don't develop it at that point, these girls will go out, they will find anybody, they will have babies because they're looking for love, they want somebody to love and accept them, and they have this unrealistic impression that having a child
is
somebody
right.
to love them.
But where did they learn that, Kathy? See, their parents need to learn how to take responsibility for themselves. They're the role models.
Absolutely.
When parents are having problems with children, even when they've really been there for their children, I say to them, yeah, you might have been there for your children, but are you there for yourselves? Are you
right.
role modeling personal responsibility for your children?
Right.
And most of the time, they haven't been. They've been giving themselves up. They've been trying to control. And so that's what their children learn, and they have no idea how to
right.
take care of themselves because their parents never learned it.
exactly.
And we
actually have a whole parenting section on our website too. For
excellent.
Yeah, because I was going to ask that, because as the father of a teenager and a young lady, I know one of the challenges always, and I'm glad you said as an example and being a role model, because children look at their parents as the example of who they are supposed to become.
Exactly. And if you're treating yourself badly, then what do you think your kids are going to do?
Absolutely.
If you're acting out addictively, then what do you think your kids are going to do?
That's right.
If you're making others responsible for your feelings, that's exactly what your kids are going to do.
And if you're rejecting your children and making them feel, you know, like they're not worthy or they're not doing something right, they're going to carry that into adulthood. Like Tony
well,
said,
absolutely.
We all carry around that inner child.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to try to go to the phone. It looks like we have a caller that may want to ask a question. So,
and we'll
area code 818. You're on the line. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Is this Jenny?
Hello.
This is Gray Sabatini.
Hey, Gray. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm getting ready to go to work.
Okay. I'm so glad you're joining us tonight.
Well, I'm here in Los Angeles, and I'm going to be having my own show tonight. I wanted to just say...
You may
I
want to
love,
turn your volume down just a tad bit, Gray, so that it won't.
Yeah, you want to turn down the volume on your computer and just listen on the phone. That'll be better for
you.
Yeah,
just listen on the phone, because that kind of probably will be throwing you off while you're making your comments.
Okay, how's that now? Is that
great.
Better?
Great, wonderful.
Yeah, I love the show, and I love what Dr. Paul is saying, and I just think it's all so true, and I think everybody needs to do this, to do the inner bonding. And sometimes this self-love takes a whole lifetime.
Yes, sometimes it does.
It really does, and it's so important what she was saying about depending on someone else to make us happy. I really agree with you, Dr. Paul, and I just think, you know, I'm going to go out and get that book, and I'm going to log on to the Inner Bonding, and tonight I'm doing my own show on dating in midlife, and Kathy, you've heard some of my show.
Yes, absolutely, and it's a wonderful show.
Oh, thank you. And so much of this has to do with, you know, when you're dating, the expectations of somebody else filling your needs. And
Exactly.
I really just appreciate, you know, that you're doing this show and you have Dr. Paul on. And just everybody needs to read the book. Everybody needs to get online and do that inner bonding, because it would just be so much more peaceful in our
That's
relationships,
right.
And, of course, with everybody else we come in contact with, because being in emotional pain is like the worst, you know?
That's right. And I truly believe, Gray, that, I mean, if we believe ourselves, love ourselves, you have got to connect to that higher power. If you don't have that higher power in your life, that, in my opinion, that's first and foremost.
Well, that you know, I agree with that, too. There is a book that I've written that really deeply teaches the inner bonding process, and it's called Do I Have to Give Up Me to Be Loved by God?
Oh, wow.
I'm seeing it right here online, and I'm going to go out and get that book. I think it's just, Dr. Paul, you're just really, you're on the right track. I just think
Wonderful.
That's...
Thank
yeah,
you.
You know, actually, God is number one, and that's what I've been talking about on my show. And, of course, Susan Waldrop is one of my friends, and she has a show, and you know, it all starts with your relationship with God. And
That's right.
That is
He's
so
the one
true.
That can fill us
Everything
up.
Else will follow.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. But so many people, you know, what I found with so many people, even if they have a deep belief in God, they don't necessarily know how to have a personal relationship with God, two-way relationship where you can talk and you can listen and you can receive the love and the wisdom that's here for us. And that's a lot of what people need to learn, as to how to have that personal relationship with God.
And there are so many ways to go. Go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, and as we were talking before, that is that voice. That's that tool He gives us. He's given
right.
us the opportunity to know exactly what we're supposed to do, and He gives us the free will to listen. We just have to take the time to listen, because He gives us the tools, and He talks to us all the time.
One of the things that I found that's been so powerful with, for people in connecting, in creating a personal relationship with God, is to make sure that when they are trying to speak to God and listen to God, they're in a deep intention to learn about loving themselves.
Right.
Because this is what God helps us learn to do, is to love ourselves. When you're going to God to try and control something, you're not going to hear God's voice.
That's right.
Well, it's absolutely right. And the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit, gives us the guidance. And, you know, you're giving us, and through the Holy Spirit, people like you who give us the tools through this wonderful wisdom and your books. And I think people have to want to be whole, and they have to, you know, want to find happiness, and they have to do the work.
That's right. They have to be devoted to it.
That's right. And they also have to pay attention when the message comes to you. And please, listeners, please hear me when I say this. The message comes to different people in different ways. You have got to be open and accepting when you receive it. Don't just shrug it off. I mean, it might be a feeling that comes over you. It may be a word that someone says to you instead
that's
of you
right.
saying, that's interesting. Pay attention to those signs. I was driving in my car the other day, and a song came on the radio, and those words were extremely applicable to what I was going through at that moment. And I got it.
I
got it. And a lot of people just don't get it. They don't pay attention when you see
the signs. Well, that's right. But you know what? They don't pay attention because they're in their head, and they're in the past, and they're in the future, and they're not present in this moment, which is the only way that they're going to hear that voice.
That's right. That inner voice, that God, that spiritual voice, if you don't listen, you'll miss it.
That's right.
I like to always
say
that.
I need to go, but I wanted to say that somebody said to me one week, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today is the present, and that's why they call it a gift. So we just have to
That's right. That's great.
Thank you so much for sharing, Gray, and thank you so much for calling. God bless you.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Dr. Paul, and thank you, Kathy, and we'll touch base again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
You know, I'm going to have to go in a couple minutes, too.
No problem. Because we're winding down to the last few minutes. And, Dr. Paul, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You have been a wonderful blessing, and you have provided so much outstanding information. Tony, you want to say your last few words to Dr. Paul?
Well, I just wanted to, if you could, Dr. Paul, if you will once again give us your contact information and your website information and what they need.
The website is innerbonding, innerbonding.com. People can email me at margaret@innerbonding.com.
And also, listeners, you can contact her through my website because I have all her information just in case you didn't get that or didn't write it down or whatever, so don't worry about that. So, Dr. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you
for having me on your show.
Oh, no problem at all. You continue to save lives and do great things and make a difference in this world. We need more
and
like
you. And you too.
Okay.
Okay. Take care of both of you.
Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, she is such a wonderful, wonderful person. She is so knowledgeable, and like I said, I met her through one of the organizations that I'm a member of, and she has been so helpful for me and everything that I have learned from her. She's a godsend. She is absolutely a godsend.
And you know, I hope our listeners, and I know I got something from it, and I'm hoping that our listeners understand so much about finding themselves before they understand who they are to someone else. Because
right.
you cannot be what you need to be for anyone else until you are what you are for yourself. And
absolutely.
The only way that's going to happen is if you listen to what God gives you. He's given us the tools, and Dr. Paul mentioned that. He talks to us every day, pretty much every second of every day, if we're just willing to listen, and we don't block our own blessings.
That's correct. Well, and you know what? That is a very good point. That's exactly what a lot of people do. We block our blessings. We stand in our own way. We get in our own way. We continue to do the same things over and over and over, expecting a different result. And didn't Albert Einstein define that as insanity? You cannot continue to do the same behaviors over and over and get a different result. We've got to learn how to come out of that mode. And, Tony, we're coming down to our last few seconds, so I just once again want to thank everyone for listening to the show. We love you guys so much.
please email us and give us your comments, ideas, thoughts, questions. My website is www.chholloway.com. So we're going to sign off for now. This is Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony DeMar.
And we will see you here next week, same time on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everyone.